we've been talking to the FPG, and BSA attended the most recent meeting with the club, and I think one of the things that we had put to us in very strong terms was that we should try and settle and desist from some of the legal actions, and frankly, one or two of them, the consequences for the people we're taking action against had got disproportionate to what they'd actually done. So with hindsight, we probably shouldn't have taken some of the actions that we've taken, but in other cases, I think we were absolutely right and justified to take action against people, because we've got to defend some of the things that, that people have said and some of the activities that people have entered into.
You've had to pay the costs for last week.
Yeah, we're happy to do that, because I think the consequences would have been disproportionate. So even if we'd won, we lose, because then we have to collect money off people that sometimes maybe don't have it. So I think that's self-defeating and certainly not in the best interest of the club, which now we seem to have stability and some good purpose and a good team spirit. I think the last thing we want to do is create further division.
It was a defamation case that was brought against a supporter, Carl. It would appear that the claim was for £25,000. Did that significantly increase last week? And did that lead to the ending of this case?
Well, generally, frankly, without boring everyone about the way defamation cases work, if someone defames you and then continues to publish that defamation or refuse to apologise, then it's called aggravation of the defamation, and generally the damages are then increased. So that's the procedural part of defamation law, I am told. I'm no expert myself, but that's what I'm told. And it's a normal thing to raise the damages in cases where there's no apology or retraction forthcoming.
So could these damages have resulted into well over £250,000?
Well, certainly if we were successful, damages and costs could have got well over those figures. And again, I'll reiterate, it all got wholly disproportionate. The individual was given every opportunity to retract and deal with this early on, and chose not to, and probably we should have left things at that matter rather than at the 11th hour. But after lengthy discussions, both my father and myself felt it was very much in the best interest of the club to concentrate on going forward rather than raking over what's gone before, however unsavoury or upsetting or distressing that was.
It has been suggested, Carl, that you pulled out of this because you had no chance of winning it. What would your response be to that?
I think you'd have to be a brave individual to ever think that if you go into court, I wouldn't say it's a lottery, but it's never there's never any certainty with cases. And I don't think I'm brave enough to predict the outcome of them, and I don't think anyone else should be, because you don't know. It depends how the case pans out, the evidence that's given, and there's always twists and turns.
As far as civil litigation goes against supporters at this moment in time, are there a lot of other live cases at this moment? Where are we up to with it all?
I think we're pretty much at the end, or coming to the end. There's one matter that needs to be dealt with, that we've dealt with very quickly now, and that's the matter of the pitch invasion. Some people say was a peaceful matter. Well, listen, one of our supporters was sent to prison as a result of that demonstration. It was anything but peaceful. But, if you ask some of the people who were getting with coins and terrified, they would say it certainly wasn't peaceful. We need to fulfil our obligations to make sure those supporters at home and away that come to our ground to watch games get the chance to watch the games. And sadly, our belief is that certain parties, despite having told the police and the authorities that there wouldn't be a pitch invasion, they'd organised a pitch invasion with the sole intention of, in my opinion, of having the game abandoned and called off, rather than just going on for 5-10 minutes making the point. So I think in those circumstances where we've got an obligation and suffer sanction from the FA and the Football League of points and fines and playing games behind closed doors, which really does affect the genuine supporters who just want to watch football, I think we're obliged to actually do all in our power to make sure that doesn't happen again. And we have given certain individuals that we feel are responsible for the organisation and implementation of those of that demonstration, both the one at home to Huddersfield and and the subsequent one in the pre-season friendly the following season at Lancaster, where both games were called off. We've given them the chance to give us an undertaking that it won't happen again, and they've refused to do so. So we will be proceeding against certain individuals, but probably not as many as we originally indicated. I think it's more likely to be three or four now, rather than the maximum of 10 that we've discussed with the FPG at various meetings with them.
So there is no possibility at this stage that will go the same way as last week's case, where everything will come to a halt?
No, we'll proceed. I think we need to make sure that we do all we can and have some defence to charges if we ever end up before the FA and the Football League again. We need to do all in our power to make sure that there's some barrier or some sanction, because we can't just sit idly by and let people behave in that way and affect the club and damage the club. And certainly damage the interests of the supporters who want to watch football, of which there's plenty that don't want to be involved in this type of demonstration. And it was very unfortunate on Sunday. A lot of the supporters that went into the ground were harassed and intimidated and abused and pelted with eggs and mushrooms, surprisingly, by some of the supporters outside. And it's unfortunate when supporters or so-called supporters turn on people that just want to go and watch their football team in peace and quiet.
What do you make of the matchday experience this year, Carl, at Bloomfield Road? Has it reached an all-time low in certain respects, that it is so quieter than it used to be?
It's obviously not satisfactory at all. However, the people that are in the ground now want to be in the ground. They want to support the team. Politics have been left outside. It's very, very unfortunate that we have a large section of our support base that chooses not to come. But I have to say that I understand why they don't want to come into the ground and respect the decision that they've made.
That's because of you, isn't it? Let's get it right. They're not coming because of you.
Well, of course that's the case. I'm in charge, and the buck stops with me. We've made plenty of mistakes, as all football clubs do. You know, you never ever get everything right, and we've got plenty spectacularly wrong. Obviously, that's the case, and we'll not duck that position. But it doesn't alter the fact that now the atmosphere, yes, it's a bit quieter, but it's generally a supportive atmosphere that concentrates on supporting the team, many of whom are very young, and supporting the manager, who's doing a great job in mobilising that team and trying to rebuild and improve our fortunes. So I think politics are definitely best left outside the ground, but I'm slightly concerned about the abuse that genuine supporters are shipping when they walk into the ground from so-called activists outside. I think I think they really need to take a look in the mirror and aim any upset they've got at myself in a more constructive way than criticising fellow supporters.
Must just ask you finally, Carl, we know that you had a proposal on the table from the Blackpool Supporters Trust a number of months ago about taking over the club, about them running the club and yourself and your father signing it over. In terms of interest from any other party, have you had interest from other parties outside of the Blackpool Supporters Trust who have come to you and said, we would be interested in taking over Blackpool Football Club?
Well, we had an approach a few years ago that we publicised at the time that we'd had an approach. I wouldn't say it was an offer from the Supporters Trust. I think it was they were expecting us to hand over substantial sums, assets and cash to them, and it was, I wouldn't say ridiculous, but it was verging on that. No, the answer to the question, we've not had anything further, and we've even taken the unprecedented step, which is something we've not often done in my time at Blackpool, of putting a statement out to say exactly that we hadn't had an offer when some of the media reported that we had, and no one stood that up. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, but no, there's been nothing, and I think if there ever is, we'll probably, likely, unless there's major reasons not to, I think we'll certainly issue a statement to say that there has been and how we're dealing with that, but there just hasn't, so I'm not sure where that story's come from.